Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to make a calendar of sexy singles for your college? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. I don't actually think any of the people that participated were single, or maybe they were all single. I'm not quite sure, but
Tracy was at the time.
That's true. I would sign up to buy this calendar. Both calendars. Yeah. Equal opportunist, I guess, but I mean, I would rather...
I do think Megan is... like very intelligent with her argument that like, no, you need to have some for the ladies, some for the men. Yeah. No one's accounting for the non-binary folks back in the 90s. But I think I like this from Megan because it feels like even more synergy between her and Sean. I feel like that inventive like aspect of her brain, you know? So I love that for her.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the Sean and the Megan stuff is feeling a little rough because it now seems like their thing is like, we're just going to find a new way to argue today, but none of their problems are actually problems. So I kind of feel like, you know, as per the fetish ball, we don't kink shame.
Yeah.
But I kind of just feel like this is their kink. Like they like couples that they like to bicker, which I have never been in a relationship where like we're always constantly fighting or bickering. I just feel like that is the type of energy that I don't enjoy. But I've known plenty of couple that just love to bicker. Like it's just their thing.
Yeah, I hate that. Like that is my thing that I am so uncomfortable around. Like if I'm Richard throughout the majority of this episode, I'm actively uncomfortable. Like yeah. I just, because I am the type where like if I have a problem with something that my partner is doing, generally speaking, I'm not going to be like vocalizing that in front of other people. It is a conversation that is going to be had at home later. Again, we are 30-year-old ladies. And so I feel like that just comes with maturity. I think this kind of acting out in front of other people feels like something that like young 20-somethings do.
That's probably true. Now that you're saying that, like I probably saw it more often when I was like in my college years or early 20s. Now all of my people like to keep their shit behind closed doors, but it's definitely something that like I've witnessed. Like, can you think of any of your couple friends that are like this? Cause I definitely remember. And it is,
I would say like, yeah, I would say not so much anymore, but I would say that like, there are still family members who I feel like are like this and they're much older. Like, I think it's interesting. I think like there's a different generation where they will like hash shit out in front of other people. Again, I guess your mileage may vary on like your specific relationship. If like you feel comfortable doing that in front of others,
and I just know person, like, for example, like me, Adam and I, we were bickering in front of our friend Andrew about like the Christmas tree, because I always had like a pink tree. Mm-hmm. And Adam wants like a, not like the ornaments are pink, and Adam wanted like a traditional like Christmas tree. And mm-hmm. like, I have like these things that come out that are like little sticks.
Yeah.
And like, it's not serious stuff, right? It's not like we are having issues with like our sexual relations. Like, no, we're not bickering about that.
It depends on the intimacy of the topic, I think. Yeah. True. Yeah, I agree with that. So yeah, like your mileage may vary on like how comfortable you are. I just know I would be extremely uncomfortable both if I'm Richard and if I'm Megan or Sean. Like, this is not a conversation, in my opinion, that like is something you want to have like way out in the open. But let's dive into the Megan and Sean topic, actually, because we're already on them. We're talking season 3, episode 10, final touches, aka let's get it on. A lot of this episode has to do with sex, because Megan and Sean haven't been able to kind of like fully have sex since he had the operation. To me, it feels very much like a mental barrier, and they're not, because it's a sensitive topic. I think neither one of them are like really effectively communicating with each other. Megan is assuming maybe he's not attracted to her anymore. Sean is assuming, oh, she can't be attracted to me. Like, I feel like less of a man after this surgery.
Yeah.
And so they're having trouble. And like, I don't know, this feels like a very common thing. Obviously, a little bit more uncommon is like the surgery aspect, but like, I feel like I've seen this sort of topic explored on television a zillion times.
Yeah. And in real life, like when there is like a sexual issue between a couple, I do think it's really awkward to talk it out because it's embarrassing and it's uncomfortable. And like sometimes like the guys, if it's an issue on like the guy's side, or like if the libidos don't match up, like there's just like a lot of ego that comes with having a sexual discussion like this. And it's also, it's just like awkward, right? And if you don't have like the abilities to communicate, and if you don't have the abilities to communicate with your partner, it's just really, really awkward. And I don't blame Megan for going inward, because I would go there as well. Like if I was in a couple that had really good sexual chemistry and then all of a sudden didn't, like, and the guy's not explaining himself, like what's going on with him, then for me personally, the only way to go and the only way to gain control over the situation is to go inward. You're not attracted to me anymore. I am doing something wrong. And ultimately, like, he was just like, Megan's so hot that she can get anybody. Now that I have one ball, there's no way she'll be attracted to me. And on top of that, what happens if we're having sex and I can't get there? Like, I can't either stay up, or I can't, you know, finish. Like, there's like a lot of what ifs for him. So,
and there's a lot of shame around all of that in general, I think. And obviously we're not men. We don't have those parts, so we can't necessarily speak to that side of things. But like, certainly I feel like he's embarrassed. And then when he's embarrassed, maybe he'll lash out. And then she feels hurt, like it's her fault. Like, this is a super, super common thing. So I wasn't exactly surprised to see Sean and Megan going through it. But yet again, Sarah, I'm really happy that when we do have these like Sean and Megan dust ups, that they don't last more than an episode. Although I will say I am kind of over them having these little spats. And not that they're, I mean, they're common, right, in relationships, and especially newer relationships. You're still trying to like figure out who that other person is and still get to know them. But like, this feels so silly. Like, I feel like of all of the couples on this show, they're the most communicative, generally speaking, like with their friends. And like, they have really good communication.
Oh, that's so interesting. You're so right. Because like, Megan is typically so open and honest, oftentimes too much so. And then Sean is as well. Like, he has great communication skills with Ben in particular.
Yeah.
So, I mean, oftentimes he doesn't give the best advice, but at least he's talking it out. And it's interesting, you're right, that they aren't able to communicate effectively with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually they get there, but it's not their initial instincts. And I wonder why that is. Like, I wonder if it's because they're still in that mode of like, I want to be like a good boyfriend/girlfriend and I don't want to lose this. It's too delicate and I'm trying to like people please. Or if there's something like, if there's like a barrier or what that is. But like, you're so right. Like, they're such effective communicators, or if not effective communicators, they're often like they're very blunt. Like, they say,
yeah,
they say what they want to say typically.
Yeah. I have to assume that the reason they're struggling a little bit is based on what we know. Again, we don't know everything. I feel like of the main cast, Megan and Sean tend to be a little more one note, and we don't know a ton about like their romantic histories or like dating histories. But I have to assume that like this for them is one of their first like very serious relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big deal. Like, you learn a lot in your first relationship about how to be a good partner, how to communicate with your significant other. I don't know that either one of them have gotten this far in a relationship prior to this. And even if they did, I mean, are we really counting like high school relationships? Not to say those things don't matter, but they're different. Like, you're not a full adult yet. Like, you have other responsibilities. You're generally still living at home. Like, there's a lot of things that are a little bit different once you're like in college and dating. And yeah. So I'm hoping that these are just like small hurdles that they just keep like leaping over and figuring out how to be more honest with each other, how to just like, I think the problem is both of them are going to overthink if they're not communicating with one another.
Yeah.
And I think they're both so nervous to mess it up, right? Like, it's very adorable and just cute, Sarah, to me, that both of them are like, I was nervous that you were getting like bored of me. Like, and Sean being like, I can't imagine anybody getting bored of you. Like, you're incredible. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they both are in their own heads. And I hope that I hope we don't continue this trend of like tiny spats, because it's going to get old.
I think that they will, and it will. Like, I think that it's like, how long is this rope going to go? Is this going to be like an everyday thing? But then again, like, you know, who wants to see like a perfectly happy couple on our TV? Like, I want to like talk about Monica and Chandler, because like, we often use them as like a really good like template for like a TV couple that once they were together, they were together, right? Like, how often, and I never felt like they were boring, honestly. Like, how often did they fight? And then what did they do that was not fighting that made them interesting, besides being compelling, because we wanted them to work out, which Megan and Sean do have.
Yeah, I think they fought. I don't remember them. I mean, granted, also, this is a sitcom couple, so I think it's a little bit different in terms of, like, what we expect to see. I think you expect to see more fighting on a drama. But, yeah, they bickered, and they poked fun in the way that all the friends kind of poked fun at one another. Yeah. There were a few moments, right, like, when they're going to get married, it's like, who's going to have cold feet, right? Like, there were moments like that, especially, like, oh, the proposal. There were moments during that whole thing, during the serious moments. But, yeah, I think what kept them compelling was their chemistry and the fact that the show didn't always threaten their relationship, like I would say they did with, like, a Ross and Rachel very often, or in this case, like a Felicity and Ben / Felicity and Noel. Yeah. You never felt like the relationship was incredibly stable, or you always felt like it was incredibly stable. Whereas I would argue in these other couples, you always feel like there's a chance they'll break up, especially when there's, like, a love triangle presented. I feel like that's even more, like, you know, they're going to go back and forth.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this is, like, just how they vibe. They'll grow with each other, eventually kind of learn more effective ways to communicate with one another, and also kind of build up that self-confidence in their relationship. Because I think this is another thing, especially in new relationships, where both of you are a little bit anxious about either ruining things or losing that person. Like, you don't feel like you have confidence that that relationship can withstand certain trials and tribulations. I'd imagine, Sarah, them going through this whole cancer scare situation with Sean should give them some level of confidence that they can get through things successfully together as a couple. But again, this is like a teen drama. So I think sometimes memories are a little bit short when it comes to these shows.
I think so. I mean, it's just interesting because I don't know. I just think that it's, like, such a popular trope to have a couple and then, like, have them be on and off or in danger. And I don't know how, if, like, Megan and Sean are, like, are forever. I feel like, I don't know. I think, like, in the olden days, the statistics of finding your husband or wife in college were pretty high. Like, that's what people kind of, like, genuinely, like, went to college and found their spouse. But I don't know if that is the case anymore these days. Like, I feel as though it, depending on, like, where you go to school, like, that's not typically, like, the number one priority anymore, or like a big thing. Like, maybe hookup culture is more prevalent, but I don't know how long, if these two are supposed to be forever, but, like, I really, really like them, and I feel as though they would be equally interesting without the bickering. And it was really uncomfortable to watch, like, Richard have to be kind of, like, in the middle of it or, like, on the sidelines watching it.
I didn't like his commentary either, is the thing. He's, like, not helping. I feel like pointing out that you know exactly what is going on between this couple isn't really helpful.
Well, I don't think he didn't know what was going on until I think they, like, told him, and then he was like, oh, I know what this is. And I was like, go away. I think that I also think, like, the jealousy between them is not very cute, but also I think the great Taylor Swift has this song named Delicate, and it explains exactly this about how, you know, you don't want to say the wrong thing in a new relationship. You don't want to, like, if I do this, is it too much? Or, I think that that's what it is. And I do think that, and I've said it for a few weeks now, if, like, this is their thing, and, like, every single episode, they're going to find a new way to argue, like, is it their shit? Like, do they like it? Do they like arguing?
Some couples love arguing. Like, it's like an aphrodisiac for them.
Yeah, they say, like, I've heard people say that, like if you're not arguing, then you don't have, like, passion in the relationship.
Nope.
I think, or I mean, that's
what I just don't. Say. I just, I really do disagree. Like, I'm just saying, like, you can, I'm not saying you should always agree with everything that your partner says or does, or like philosophically. I think you can have totally different opinions. But I think if you're arguing constantly, that does not necessarily say to me, like, okay, like, sure, it's passion, but like, I would view it as like a negative form of passion. Mm-hmm. I think you could be extremely comfortable in a relationship and not argue much and still have plenty of passion. I just hope this isn't a running trend with them, because I'm getting a little tired of it.
It will be and we will get tired of it. So yeah. It's just like how long is this rope? Like how long are we going to be able to tolerate it before you and I are like, fuck Megan and Sean. Like
enough
anymore. Yeah. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
But I'm not there yet.
No, not yet. They have like good makeups, so at least there's that.
Yeah, and their sex was good. Like they had, when they finally got there, and they were really happy. They went again. Like they can get. What are you making that face for?
Oh, I was thinking, honestly. I was thinking about like how I appreciated, like, okay. Because even though I'm not here for a jealousy storyline, you know that I find it to be tiring and irritating. I felt like the resolution of this one was nice, because the reason they're like jealous, right? They're doing the whole calendar thing, which means they're inherently going to be hanging around with like super attractive people, taking photos of them shirtless, blah, blah, blah. I think obviously that is rife for conflict, especially when you're having some like problems in the bedroom. And I really like, I'm trying to remember exactly what happened, but Sean was basically like, oh, all these men like with their shirts off. And it, I like the idea that then Megan is like, I like you and your body, and like boosting his self-confidence a little bit.
Yes.
It's like a really lovely thing. So as much as I hate the jealousy, I like where like that it reinvigorated like that part of their like physical relationship. Yeah.
I think like it takes a specific person to like a specific thing, like rock hard abs. Like, yes, of course, there's so many people that are looking for that and want that. But I think that there's as many people that don't have any interest in that. Like, I don't. Like, I personally don't find it attractive. Like, I was watching such a stupid Christmas movie. It was so bad. The one with Chad Michael Murray, and they're like, oh my God, it was so stupid.
Oh, the new one. Doesn't it have a couple of people from Basketball Twins in it?
Who the fuck knows? But basically what would happen, I don't know, because I haven't watched Basketball Twins. I don't know who these people are.
It's called Mary something, right?
The Merry Gentleman. So basically,
right. Okay.
So dumb. So this big city girl is like in like a fake Rockettes, gets kicked out of the Rockettes, goes to her hometown, as you do in a Christmas movie.
Yes, of course. Like, you have to. Your
hometown where you're like from a small town. Her family owns a bar and they're like about to close down because nobody goes to the bar anymore. They used to have musical acts, but nobody goes. So then she goes, hey, I know what we could do to raise money. We could do like a gentleman's like Chippendales performance.
Oh, so that's okay. So that's what the Mary Jo. Wow. Okay. So we're basically doing like Magic Mike meets Christmas.
Yes, exactly. So then Chad Michael Murray is like, I'm a guy that like fixes the bar sometimes, and like I have tools, so I'm like hot. And then like, and he's like, and she goes like, you're hot, and like maybe I don't know, like you're around, so you have to be in my Chippendales gentleman show. So then it's like, basically the long story short is we have like 20 like guys with like abs, and I'm like, I'm not attracted to any of these men, you know what I mean? Like, give me like the lumberjack. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. I have questions while we're on the topic of the Merry Gentleman. I've pulled up the IMDb. Is there a puppy in a baby carrier? If you're watching us on YouTube, I am sharing my screen.
So the woman on the right is, she is the city girl that goes home.
Okay.
The man on the left is her brother-in-law, who does eventually go get into the gentleman's show, but then he has a perp, but whatever. That dog is her sister slash her brother-in-law's dog. I don't know why he's in the pet carrier.
It's adorable.
He's a very cute dog. I think he was like a Pomsky or something.
He looks very, like very a Pom mix. Yeah.
But he definitely was like, this is a cute dog and we have to find ways to use it because I don't know. We paid this like dog actor all this money. Yeah, this was just the shittiest thing I've ever seen. Who's in this? I don't even
know. Okay, so here's the thing. I was looking through the list on IMDb of actors because I noticed some people from the 90s. So we have, I think her name was like Dina or something from Boy Meets World. Oh,
I do.
Remember her?
Yes. That girl played the sister. She was the sister.
And then... we also have this lady.
Yes, Sabrina. I forgot about that. Yeah, yep. She was
so like we have some famous people. This guy looks familiar too. I don't know what he's in, but he looked familiar to me. Yeah, look at this. Is like a very stacked, like not stacked cast, but you know, it's very funny.
I love these movies, these like Christmas movies. This one was like absolute shit though. I was like, this sucks. And none of them were hot. That's the point.
Chad Michael Murray wasn't hot in it.
I have never been attracted to Chad Michael Murray. Is this a hot take? I have never been attracted to him.
I think the thing is, I think like if you were a Basketball Twins girly,
I would have been the brunette twin.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think there's like barriers to entry for you. I think first of all, you would have had to be into Basketball Twins. Second of all, you would have had to be a Luke girly, not a Nathan girly.
Oh wait, was Nathan Lucas. Chad Michael Murray?
No, Nathan was the brunette guy. You would have to be a Lucas girly, who is Chad Michael Murray.
Yes,
I was. So I feel like. My opinion is very much colored by my teen years because it was like, I remember having such a crush on him.
I remember. So like my friends watched Basketball Twins and they like loved Chad Michael Murray. And I just like never was into him.
I think his hair in this movie is not good.
I don't know. I mean, like between that and Hot Frosty, like we're just making people uglier, to be honest with you.
Stop growing people's hair out. I think
you know who does look good now? Joshua Jackson. He had he just looks hotter. Like
he has a great glow up. Yeah.
He's fine wine. And I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know. Okay, so let's
folks is the name of the game.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Let's finish up talking about Sean and Megan and swap over to where do you want to go next? We have Felicity and Noel and loser pets.
Yeah, store. Let's just go there because this is so stupid. Okay, so loser pet store is apparently the best idea that's ever come up. And this TV producer guy who might be his professor, but also works at a TV station, I think.
Well, it's kind of like an Adult Swim sort of like online comic show.
Is it online or is it on TV? Anyway.
I think it was online, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But yeah, they want 20 episodes and they only have like a few days to come up with it. But the problem is Felicity is swamped because of her other storyline where... Mm-hmm. she gave Megan a slip that was supposed to be mailed to drop a class, and Megan didn't mail it, so she didn't have the class dropped, and now she has to take a final. I don't know how she's passing this class, truly.
Well, okay. So this is so funny because this is an ongoing dream that I feel like everybody has. We've talked about this dream before. Like, oh no, like I think that this is so funny that they made this into a storyline, because this is definitely somebody that has like anxious dreams that was like, I had this dream, and everybody in the writer's room was like, I had this dream too. So I don't think it's impossible, because this is my thing. When I was in high school, I failed Spanish 3 marking periods in a row, and literally an F. And then
the way my heart rate just increased, literally just hearing that, I am unwell.
And the thing was that the last marking period, I had to get an A to equal out my grade to be a C, so that I didn't have to retake Spanish. And I did it, because of course I did. So I don't think it's impossible with how Grace, she got like all Fs. So she gets an A, then it averages out.
That's crazy.
So I've done this. Like, this is like my game. Like, I will fail. I will fail until I can't fail no more. And then I will get an A, because I had it in my heart all along.
See, this is why we can't. This is why I'm happy everything's online nowadays, because dropping a class, I think, would just be like an online thing. You wouldn't have to mail something.
I don't think so. Like, I think that you have to go physically into the registrar. That's which horrifying. Is what Felicity should have done. Like, I mean, did you ever, you never had to drop a class?
Have I dropped? I did drop a class, but I don't. Did I drop it? I may have just finished that class and then not taken another one like it, because I don't remember dropping any classes.
Yeah, you have to go like wait in line at the registrar. Like, maybe you can like submit the request or whatever online, but I guarantee you have to go stand in line. This is, in my opinion, this is a little bit of Felicity's fault, because when we have sensitive information, we shouldn't trust others.
Especially if you know Megan is flaky. Like, why are you trusting her with your mail?
Yeah. Okay, so wait, Megan said that she was going to mail in. Did she want to cancel her Wiccan magazine membership or re-up it?
I think it was re-up it.
Okay. Oh, and she was like, I haven't gotten my articles in a really long time.
Yeah. So Felicity is like basically has a lot on her plate and only so much time to get everything done. So she has to study for this final and also help Noel with this pitch for Loser Pet Store. And here's the thing.
Yeah.
She is really excited about Loser Pet Store, but I think if we're doing percentages, mm-hmm. I think like 30% of her is excited about Loser Pet Store, and 70% is like, Noel is so excited, I can't cancel on him. Like, she's a little bit of a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And so she gets like roped in, and I was so mad at Noel this episode, Sarah, when they're like having the discussion and like pitching ideas back and forth of like, cause they have to fill out these like 20 episodes. And she pitches some of the same ideas he does, because she like stayed up all night trying to like do both things. And he's like, oh, obviously you don't care about this. Ugh. And she starts crying. And I'm like, leave her be, Noel, you asshole. Like, she's obviously very stressed. Like, what's wrong with you?
That was so rude. It's like you do not know what I care and what I do not care about. So do not project it onto me, like what you think that I care about. And I felt very, very bad for her in that moment, because she was just exhausted and stressed and like thinking that she has to study, but then she made this commitment. And I also like don't understand, I guess, because like it was her idea that she has to get roped into like storyboarding 20 episodes.
But I also think she want, like when they talked about pitching this idea to whatever that company was, she was like excited. She was like, no, I'm really excited to work on this with you. So it did seem like she was very much interested. I think it's just, she's overwhelmed. And personally, if it's me, I think I am putting my grades and like my schoolwork above this sort of like a side project. So you know, it takes Ben talking some sense into Noel. And I was here for Ben being like, yeah, I told her to stop. I told her to tell you that's enough.
I like that too, because like he is just trying to like do right by Felicity. And he's the only one in this moment that like actually knows the whole story about what's going on with her. So I like that too. Like, I like that he was like, hey, you fucking idiot. You have no idea what she's going through because you don't ask
Because you haven't asked. You just saw her crying and were like, oh, she's being emotional or something. And so he does go and apologize to Felicity. He says he really wants to do the project with her. Let's ask for an extension. So he does ask. They say no. He lies to Felicity, which is like a kind white lie.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the right move anyway, because he was a TA for that class last year. Like he is.
For the test she needs to take.
Test. Well, for the class too. So he probably knows like the answers or what's going to be on the test. And I like that he switches gears in this moment and is like, I'm going to help her. Like I know how to help her. And ultimately, without him helping her, then she wouldn't have been able to pass it. She said, like, when she took the test, like, she was exhausted because they stayed up, like, all night. She has been staying up all night. And, but, like, all the answers just came to her. Like, she knew everything. And she, like, winds up probably getting, like, 100 or, like, a 99, an A. She, like, averages out the class with a C. Her GPA is absolutely fucked, but GPAs are fake, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, if you are a new graduate and you're putting your GPA on your resume, like, nobody gives a fuck.
I think it only matters if you're going to grad school, really. Like, they're going to look at your GPA then. But, yeah. So, like, I'm of a few minds with this entire thing. Good on Noel for the white lie and refocusing on the test she needs to take. Also, like, kudos to him. Staying up all night is no joke. Like, pulling an all-nighter is difficult, even in college. Like, the younger you are, the easier it are. But
did you ever have to do it?
Not in college, no.
Really?
No, I was not a procrastinator. Procrastinating makes me anxious, so I can't.
Yeah, I did. So, like, we had before, like, our big projects were due, we often did all-nighters. Like, I think, like, I had my projects done, but like I would like stay with my friends as well. Sometimes I did it. Yeah. But so the building that we stayed at, or like where we had our classes, was called Von Ames. So we called it Volnighters. Isn't that fun?
Oh, that is fun.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah.
Cutie cutie. I did some all-nighters, not studying, because once again I think studying is fake. I think studying is fake.
It's not fake. It's a real thing. You're just questioning whether or not it helps you, I guess.
I think it's fake. I'm pretty sure.
So again, kudos to Noel for staying up all night and helping Felicity out. However, I have questions and concerns. Where is Natalie and are they still together? Because that was never made.
Oh, she's clear. Dead.
Clear. Okay, she died.
She's dead.
The other thing is, it feels a little. I'm trying to give Noel the benefit of the doubt. Okay, like I'm trying to be like he's helping her as a friend out of the kindness of his heart.
No,
it feels very ulterior motive-y to me to be like, oh, I'm so excited to work on this project with you, and like he's spending all night at the library with her. Which I will just point out, because I'm Team Ben. Ben had no problem with this. He seemingly was not jealous at all when we're talking about like the opposite of like Sean and Megan. Ben is fine with them going to spend all night studying. Like he has a really mature conversation with Noel. Like
that's because fucking dick is firmly planted in the stupid Molly shit. That's why.
We gotta talk. We're gonna get there because
why. Talking about Team Ben. Team Ben is like not giving a shit what Felicity and Noel are doing because his brain is somewhere else in Molly land. He's microdosing on mushrooms over there. What the fuck are you saying? Noel is such an innocent in all of this. He just wants to help. No, this motherfucker, he says, I know how to get Felicity back. I'm going to long game it.
Yep.
And he has this man has a 12-step plan on how to get Felicity back. And this is step one. And I say respect, because if you
step one was like last episode when he's like, look at this robot man, can you help me make him walk smoother?
Yes. In reality, Noel's like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I took motions in theory or whatever long before you. Yeah. I'm going to make a shitty thing. I'm going to invite her over, ask her opinion. This mailbox, purposely make it look like an elephant. 1,000% it's elephant. And so now we're on step two. Help her while Ben's little freaking shit's doing its shit over there where he's all distracted. This is a 12-step genius move on how to win Felicity back.
Yeah.
And I hate it? No, because if you are this creative and trying to win somebody over, then maybe you deserve it. Maybe you deserve to get the person. I like a little like mastermindy chess moves to win somebody over. I like it when somebody has a big brain plan.
I'm team Ben, so like I'm obviously against this, but it's just, I feel like it's very transparent. I wish that Felicity would see that. And as to the Ben of it all, let's talk about Ben and Molly and what they get up to this episode.
Go on.
I'm upset about this because, so Molly has moved out. She does run into Ben and Felicity at some point and is like, listen, I can't just like leave James high and dry. And you know, I love him, blah, blah, blah. He's changed, blah, 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 blah.
She recited the same exact script that she had said the episode prior. And if this bitch does it again next episode, I'm going to lose my shit. She's like,
I'm addicted to him.
She's like, oh, I think that he's taking drugs and dealing again. And I just started too. And it's like, bitch, you said that last episode.
Yeah, why are you still going to Al-Anon and not just going to full on like NA? Like, because I feel like that's
she's
where
targeting
you be going.
Ben. She's like, feel bad for me, Ben. Please, me.
This it got so fucked up here because in group she's like, oh, he's dealing again and he's using again, and now I'm also using. And eventually, she does go to Ben and Felicity for help. Because she, I think he was staying in like a hotel room or something, and she came in and he pulled a gun on her because he thought she was someone else. And so she's like very scared. And so they're like, come stay at the apartment. Like everything will be fine. She's staying there. James shows up because they leave their door unlocked because, as previously established in the season, Sarah, they're like, all our neighbors keep their doors unlocked. We don't want to be unfriendly. Okay. And Ben, I love two things about these moments before we get to like the stuff that I'm going to get upset about.
Yeah.
Ben is so able. He's so mature and he is able to get James to leave like very effectively. He didn't punch James. He didn't like threaten him with bodily harm. He was like, let her sleep it off. Like, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it, please. James leaves. Felicity takes a moment to be like, I am so proud of you. Like, you handled that so well. And I loved both of these things. I loved that both Ben handled it with a lot of maturity considering the immaturity we've seen from him. I loved Felicity's reaction to it. Like, I thought this was very sweet. And I especially liked that they're like, okay, Noel, get the fuck out of here. Like, we have to have this conversation.
Yeah. It was pretty hot, actually, how Ben was able to navigate that situation.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. And then, freaking Noel was just like hanging on the couch and he's like, hey, what's going on, everybody? Have you seen my concept for Loser Pet Store? You want to give some feedback? And Ben's like handling the situation. He's like, I really liked how he handled that situation. Like, I like the fact that he cares because I don't know a whole lot of what Ben I do know what Ben cares about, but I like that he like is caring about another human being. But, and especially because he has this like connection with like the father, which also, it was so annoying when Molly was like, you have no idea what it's like to love somebody with like an addiction issue that like that you would have to abandon or whatever. It's like, bitch, like, how about when you're in Al-Anon, instead of like trying to figure out what fucking lie you're going to come up with next, you actually listen to the other people? Because if you did, then you would know that Bennett knows exactly what it's like to love somebody with an addiction issue and yeah. like, you know, have to choose to like leave them or give them up. Like, he's dealt with that. That's his problem. Oh, she pisses me off so much. I hate this little freaking rat hunt.
Yeah, like, it's really... that. It's really annoying that they just inject her into the show, and it feels so transparent and so obvious that what's going on here is Ben and Molly are going to like hook up or something, because there's a moment when Ben is watching Molly sleep. And truly, like, if you're watching someone sleep, it's either going to be super creepy or like romantic, right? Like, we're talking Joey and Casey. Like,
yeah. There's,
like, if you're watching someone sleep, it's creepy or it's romantic. And yeah. It definitely, the show was wanting us to get romantic vibes. I did like his advice to her. Again, I would love if we could just have this be a situation where Ben is friends with somebody who has been through similar experiences as him and can connect with that person. But unfortunately, we probably can't have nice things and they're probably going to hook up.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm so annoyed by this, because I just have felt from the very beginning that this is going to result in like a Ben and Molly hookup relationship situation. Like, I think that if I wasn't feeling these vibes, then like the anger wouldn't be there, especially towards like Molly and me calling her like a little rat. But like, honestly, like, Ben should be, I mean, but like, he is there for Felicity, so it's not like he isn't like available for Felicity, because he like went to Noel.
He did all this for her. Like, he got Molly out of the apartment for her to protect her. So like,
yeah. So it's,
but it just feels like they're leaning that it's going to happen.
He's just too invested in Molly is the thing. Like, he's too invested in her.
He's trying to like, not fix her, but like fix her life a little bit. Like, a little bit.
No, I think that like, he is trying to like fix her. Like, I think that like, he's just too invested to a point where like, if it was my husband who has all this energy on somebody, then I mean, number one, it'd be like, hello, like, what are you up to? But yeah, like, I don't think like the amount that he's like invested in her, but also it's just like not healthy for him, because like, he, you know, like, he tells her a billion times to leave him, and she's like, I will, I'm leaving him. And then we see at the end of the episode that like, she is like going to talk to him. He's like, you should do it in a public place. Like,
love this advice.
I like, know, absolutely, it's all very good stuff.
Yeah, like, he's giving solid advice this episode. Like, this is, don't go out. Like, I'm gonna be there like across the street in case you need me. Again, like, if they didn't have him watching her while she slept, I probably would come into this with a whole different mentality. It's because I know what they're angling for that I'm irritated. But let's pretend, let's just for a second live in fantasy land where they're not going to inevitably put Molly and Ben together. Mm-hmm. This is such a kind thing to do, to be like, I'm going to be there. I will be across the street in case you need me. Do it in a public place. Like, I think the problem is Molly on her own. Like, she isn't not strong enough. She can't withstand the manipulation, guilt tripping, like emotional manipulation from James. Like, she cannot stand that he is like crying and upset and like begging for her forgiveness and all these other things that he's doing, whatever he's saying to her.
Yeah.
She can't withstand that. I think it would take another person being there with her, not just across the street.
Yeah, and it's probably shouldn't be Ben. It should probably be like a counselor, but
certainly, yeah.
So yeah, he watches, and like, it's supposed to be a conversation where like, she is going to say, enough's enough, I am done. And then we see them, Ben sees them walking off like arm in arm, and like the cycle continues, and like you know, this is it, like this is the cycle. And like once again, like Ben kind of feels like he's going to he is putting a lot of energy in like giving her advice and like trying to protect her and being there for her. And this is just like the cycle that like addicts and their friends and family, and like this is just like how it goes. And I don't know like what is going to be enough for Ben, because I think that we're gonna have a similar conversation next episode. Like, you're supposed to leave him, like we talked about this, like
it's just gonna be irritating, because even though this sort of a thing is repetitive and like frustrating and seemingly goes on forever, it doesn't mean I don't want to watch it happen over and over again. You know, like it's just like very frustrating to watch. And I think the biggest reason I'm very frustrated watching it is because like, I don't give a single fuck about Molly. Like, well, we have no investment in her.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, I think that if it was a character that we have lived with for a couple of seasons, I would feel very differently. Like, hypothetically, if it was Julie that went through this, I think that I would feel very differently about it. But I think you're right. Like, I think it's like we just met Molly. We haven't had like that connection or that care. Maybe if we had a whole season of Molly getting along with the rest of them and like incorporating herself into the group, and then like mid to end season three, she meets a guy named James, and we're like oh that seems like promising, cute. And then season four starts, and then we find out all this stuff about James and Molly. Like, I think that that would be so much more compelling, because it's earned, right? Like, it's an earned storyline, an earned character. But because we don't know Molly, we don't know James, like we don't care. Like, we just like do not. It's just annoying. It's just like a plot device to, in my mind, separate Felicity and Ben eventually, to lead to their inevitable season three breakup, because we have to have Felicity single in season four, our last season, so that she can choose between Noel and Ben. Like, it's so obvious. Like, and I say all this all the time, like, this show is like smarter than the typical show. They treat us like we are more intelligent. No, they don't. Maybe they don't. They think that we're stupid fucks, that we can't see what's actually happening. I can see what happens. I know what's happening. It's going to be all bets are off at the start of season four. Everyone's single, and the love triangle is going to be raging. Raging love triangle.
You're so right. It's very transparent what they're trying to do. And I think that's partly why it's frustrating. And the other part is because we don't care about Molly, and we have to care about a character to care about what they're going through.
Yeah. I don't care about her. I don't like her, and I don't care about her.
Yeah. Okay. Let's finish things off by talking about Tracy and Elena. Yeah, they are like struggling a little bit to be friends, because they want to hang out, but Tracy is still struggling to forgive Elena. Obviously, that's all Elena wants is forgiveness. He says he has this like conversation with his minister about forgiveness, and he wants to be friends with her. And then, Elena, my girl, you are having a rough season. I did not like this from her, where she sees that Tracy is going to be in the calendar because Donald Faison is obviously a very attractive man, and Megan recognizes this. And so she sees like a photo of him shirtless for the calendar, and she's pissed. She's like, you didn't even ask me, like, blah, 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 blah. Basically, like, not like slut shame, I guess slut shaming him. Like, basically saying, like, because you're religious, you cannot take your shirt off for a calendar. This is stupid, Elena. And also, you don't own him. And even if you were dating, it's still not your place to say. Yeah. I hated this.
She was like, well, if you are in the calendar, then all the other girls are going to notice how hot you are. Like, they don't already, Elena. And then everybody's going to come after you, and then you're going to fall in love with somebody else, and then you're going to have sex with them, and then I'm going to be hot, left high and dry. Literally. So basically, But then, like, they decide that they can't just be friends, that they, because, like, they're talking and they're hanging out, they're flirting, and he's like, this is the part where, like, we used to be able to come over, or I used to come over, and then we would make out until we would drive each other crazy, and then separate. And he's like, but we're just friends now. And then eventually he comes to Elena and is like, I can't be friends. And then they make out. And then we see at the end of the episode that they had sex. They had sex. And she says, like, you know, for your first time, that was incredible. And then we see, like, freaking Tracy gooped and gagged, like, thinking, like, literally, God is going to smite me at any moment.
Oh, and you thought that's what his reaction was. See, yes. I have a different opinion on what.
Really? I thought that he was standing there. Like, I fucked up. Like, I am, like, going to get punished. I'm going to go to hell now. Like, I have, like, gone against my, my beliefs. And, like, who am I now? Because I had, like, these morals. How did you read it?
I kind of read it because the way it all goes down, where she says, wow, for your first time, that was, like, really good. And then we see this, like, kind of, like, shocked, not shocked face, but, like, I have a secret sort of face. I thought this wasn't his first time. Like, between their breakup, he did have sex with somebody. Wow. But I don't know. Maybe you're right. Like, I like that we interpreted it differently because now that you say that, you totally could be right. Like, it could be that. But it was just, like, his face read to me, like, she said something that was untrue, and he was kind of like what do I say to that? You know?
No, I mean, yeah.
But, let me hold on. I want to, for those of us watching on YouTube, I'm pulling up this scene because now I really need to like see his face again. Okay.
Yeah. To me, that's like, I have fucked up, and like, I am going to, ooh, it was so good for your first time. You're so talented.
And then he's just like, ugh.
Staring into the skies like, I am going to hell now. And I have.
You might be right. You might be right. And then is that going to be the reason they break up? Like, is that going to be?
I don't know.
Like, I've sinned and now.
I think it's going to go back to his pastor. And then if his pastor is like, I mean, in all honesty, why does my homie Jesus care if you have sex before marriage anyway? Like, I feel as though this is like low on the priority list. This should probably go with like, do not mix like fabrics, you know?
Yes, but you know how the Catholic or the Christian church is, and I can say this as someone who went to Catholic, went to Catholic Sunday school and church and all that shit. They focus so much on it because for them it's like your innocence is being stripped away and God cares about you fucking someone.
I don't think God cares about that.
I mean, I don't either, but I'm also not religious, so
I don't think that Jesus would.
I feel like he has a lot of other shit going on.
That's what I think. Like, I think I really do. Like, I think that, like, you know, should go down in like the less priority list. Like, murder, very bad, very bad. That goes up on the priority list. Stealing, pretty bad too, I guess. Like, goes up there. But like, why do we, I mean, I guess like that's the big question. Like, why does anybody in America care about who anybody else sleeps with at any point in time? Like, it really should not be a thing. But then again, like, who am I? Who am I? I'm just a little girl in this world.
So
matter. So I think that like he's gonna struggle. Like, I think he's gonna go back to his pastor. Like, I mean, if he was Catholic, all he had to do is like confess, and then they're like, "You're good. You're good, G." Like, you know,
yeah, carry no on. Worries. No worries, bro. No worries.
No worries. All you had to do is confess, and you were like, "No problem."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were Jewish, then you would confess your sins and like ask for forgiveness during Yom Kippur, and then you're like, "No worries, bro. Forgiven. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's fine." Yeah. But no, I think that he's going to deal with the guilt, and you know, I don't know. Like, I think that I don't really know how this is going to play out, but it's probably not going to be good.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be. It's not going to end well. But that's next episode's problem, not ours.
It's not our problem. That's future Jess and Sarah's issue.
Future their problem. Who do we think should get a point this episode?
Fucking nobody. I don't know.
I mean, I think Ben, truly.
Yeah, like, I think Ben probably.
He was kind. He was mature. He, yeah, like, made the right calls overall, yeah, I think.
Ben, I feel like Ben got, like, every single point this season.
He's been good. He's had a great season.
I think, like, we gave, like, a point to, like, Megan and Ben. Mostly Ben. And, like, probably, like, one to Richard. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see at the end of the season. We still have 7 episodes.
You know, okay, who hasn't got a fucking point? Molly, because we hate
her. She sucks. Yeah, get out of here.
We really hate her.
Okay, let's listen to some voicemails, some feedback that we got. Let's see what Temmie has to say about this episode.
Hi, ladies. Sarah, congratulations. Elle est mariée. It means she's married. James, that fella, he is Trumpian, basically saying I alone can fix it, or in this case, I can fix her. So, happy holidays. We have a fun year to look forward to. I think it'll be okay. Noel, he is the shadiest character on the show. He's full of lies. But it's confusing because he has good yet selfish intentions. And I guess my question is, what do you do when you're really tired but forced to work at something? How likely are you to get angry versus just try to survive in advance? Or do you get loopy like Felicity kind of did at the end of the episode? Until she was pulled back by Noel. Noel, the leader. Okay. And then how were you at sleepovers when you were kids? Did you stay up all night? I think the key to staying up all night was to drink soda, Mountain Dew, or maybe some Surge. Surge, 90s baby.
Surge!
So what is your favorite soda, and has your soda consumption changed over time?
Wow, then, okay. You know,
Soda Pop was a song on Britney's first album. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Sarah, we got a lot of questions here. So we got, do you get loopy if you are really tired?
I get weepy.
You get weepy.
I get weepy. Yeah.
I get like, weird.
Do you? Yeah, you do. You do.
I get weird when I'm tired.
Yeah. When I get tired, I get very, like, weepy. Like, I start, like, crying and, like, whiny.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. I love just like cocooning into bed and
you would do enjoy that as a pastime.
Yeah. And if I was like working on something for a long time and like I was getting tired, then I think like for me to get over it is like take like a half an hour like little like cocoon nap. Which I do. Like, I do sometimes during, like, the day. Like, it's just, like, what I need to power through. And I just, like, wrap my little blanket around my head like a little Russian girl and, like, just, like, cuddle up. And that's how I deal with it. Yeah.
Where were you in the pecking order in terms of, like, at a sleepover when you were a kid? Like, are you first to fall asleep, last to fall asleep?
No, I needed to be, like, in on the action. So, like, I would be, like, one of the last ones to fall asleep.
Same for me. The FOMO is real. I liked to be awake when the shit was happening.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Plus, like, I was, like, so worried about, like, pranks being, like, put on me. If I was asleep. So I am a DC girly through and through.
Yes, we know Diet Coke is your, yes, your drug of choice.
My drug of choice. Yeah. I am definitely less on the DC than I used to be, but I definitely partake. I don't have it in the house now. So,
okay, interesting. Yeah. So I think my journey with soda is interesting. I grew up a big DC girly. In my house, we always had Diet Coke. Like, that was what I was drinking primarily. Obviously, things are different nowadays. Like, most kids aren't consuming a ton of soda.
Yeah.
I was.
We were.
Because it was during the 90s. Yeah. It was like, what's the new diet fad and how much Diet Coke is in your house? So I drank a lot of Diet Coke growing up. Now, I would say, like, once I became a proper adult and, like, out of college probably is when I started cutting back. I want to say, like, around COVID, maybe a little pre-COVID is when I really got into seltzer. And that greatly reduced my soda consumption.
It's because so gross, though.
I love carbonation. And that's all I'm looking for, truly, is carbonation. Now I'm to the point where I will generally have one Coke Zero a day. Is what I give myself. I usually have it with my lunch as a little caffeine boost and because I really do enjoy it. But that's all I'm really having. One can a day of Coke Zero because, first of all, once you get used to seltzer, everything else tastes very strong. So it does have like a very like syrupy, thick taste for me and like sugary taste.
Yeah.
Regular soda hurts my teeth. It's like way too sugary. And yeah, I'm a Coke Zero girly. That's like my drink of choice if I'm going soda.
I'm addicted to the aspartame, really.
I love
like people are like, oh, like why would you get Diet Coke? Like it's like not like a diet. It's like the taste for me.
You like the taste of aspartame.
I love the taste of Diet Coke. Like I honestly think it tastes better than any other soda. And I think like they're with the DC girlies are like very, very like high on the DC. Like they are like,
oh yeah,
they're passionate about
like the DC. You don't hear people being like, oh, Diet Pepsi. No.
But the girlies that are into DC are into DC. It's kind of like a religion. It's like, yeah. DC
or a cult.
Yeah. It's like the Ugg boots and the, you know, like the pumpkin spice girlies.
Yes.
The pipeline is there.
It's like basic, right? Like, I feel like that's what we, I mean, call a spade a spade. I feel like it's basic. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But I did grow up with Diet Coke. I'm just more of a Coke Zero girly now.
Mm. I would drink it. Like, it's like kind of like, if a restaurant was like, oh, we have like Pepsi, is that okay? I'd be like, no, don't. Like, just give me water.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I'm like, I don't care. Like, if it's a special treat for me, like we're going out to lunch and I really am craving some sort of a soda or like caffeinated thing, mm-hmm. I'll just say, can I get a diet? Because I don't care if it's Pepsi or Coke. Oh,
I care. I will, if like they were like, are you okay with Diet Pepsi? I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll just have water. But if like somebody was like, we are out of Diet Coke, are you okay with Coke Zero? I'd be like, yes, but I'm not happy about it.
See, the problem for me is that most places don't have Coke Zero. So I usually am just getting a diet drink because I'm like, I can't ask, you know, I'm just like, just give me the diet because I know you have it. Like, I don't want to get into the whole conversation about Coke Zero.
No, I'm like Diet Coke. And then they always go, is Pepsi okay? Diet Pepsi okay? And I go,
yeah, see,
no.
you're willing to do that. And I am just like, the path of least resistance is the path I will be taking.
I don't care if they like judge me. That's why they ask, is Pepsi okay?
Oh, I shouldn't care. Here's the thing. You're the sane one in this equation. I'm the lunatic. We know that. If there's a place that I know confirmed, like if there's a chain, right, like a Wendy's or whatever, if I know that chain has Coke Zero, I will order a Coke Zero. If I don't know, I won't ask.
So like if you go to a stadium, because I get so disappointed when I go to a stadium, they have Pepsi products instead. You don't care? I would just get water.
No, I mean, generally, if I'm going to a stadium, I may not even order a soda. Like I might just go for like a water.
Or like a drink.
If it's going to be like $70,000, then probably not getting one.
It will be.
Usually what we do is like, if we're going to like a stadium or something, we'll bring an empty water bottle and like fill it once we're in because they have the water fountains.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Shall we hear what DBK has to say about this episode?
Yeah.
What up, though, ladies? Okay, so let's get it on. Pretty funny episode. I think it's pretty funny that Megan didn't mail Felicity's letter. That's why I never got these wicked magazines. So we get the setup of Felicity's got a buster butt to get an A in this course so she can pass a class that she supposedly dropped but didn't drop. We got Richard starting a school calendar, which is pretty comical this episode, and who had Richard taking shots at Megan and Sean and just annihilating them. That was some pretty funny stuff. I'm sure you guys hated the whole Molly and James of it all, but we got Ben being,
yep.
And I'll give props where it's due. Ben was super solid and was handling the situations pretty well. And then a strong episode from Noel as well. I mean, he kind of sucked. Well, I don't even think he sucked. He was he's into something and want to do it. So I'll say a strong episode from Noel. And then, I'm sure you guys pointed out that Megan sexually assaulted the models and we're not cool with that. You shouldn't touch the models.
Oh, yeah, that was really bad. I honestly forgot about that scene.
Oh, and then I'm curious also to see how you guys feel about Elena's reaction to Tracy being in the calendar.
Not good.
It wasn't super great. And then that ending, guys. Did Tracy look happy? Who's to say? Who's to say? Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
He did not look happy.
I feel like we were so engrossed in Megan Sean of it all that we really didn't touch too much on the calendar stuff. But yeah, just don't touch the models. Let them live,
Yeah. Because if a guy was hey, I'm gonna grope your boobs, then it would be a humongous discussion you and I would be We don't touch the pecs.
No, leave them alone.
Matter. It doesn't matter if they sign up for the Merry Gentlemen Men's Christmas Spectacular. It doesn't matter. You don't touch them. Have you ever been to a Chippendales?
I haven't. No,
I have, and I didn't like it because the guys would go up to the girls and then have them touch them.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to touch them.
I didn't like that at all, actually.
The whole point is looking, not touching. So
I don't know. They targeted the brides because, that's what they did.
See, this is why I would never do anything like that for a bachelorette sort of. I mean, I didn't do anything anyway, but I really wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah, that was my one thing about the Magic Mike type of show. I was just I don't want to touch you. You are oily and greasy, and I don't know you, and I barely think you're attractive anyway. But once again, I don't know, I feel maybe they don't do that anymore. That was back in 20.
Yeah, they might not.
Maybe 2016. Not. Maybe that was not a thing anymore. I'm not quite sure. I haven't been to one in a while, but
yeah. Jamie sent us in an email, another Molly-centric episode. At this point, they should just change the name of the show from Felicity to Molly. Oh,
catch me literally offing myself before watching that show.
Molly. I thought the whole point of Ben going to these Al-Anon meetings was for him to work through his anger and the issues with his father. We haven't even gotten the chance to hear Ben talk in those meetings. It's all Molly talking about her relationship with James, which I give zero F's about.
I know, that's so true. That's so annoying. Yeah. I remember, just when you go to therapy and you're I'm going to go to therapy because I want to work on this specific issue. And then all of a sudden, everything is just absorbed by some other energy. Oh, so annoying.
Yeah. Jamie continues, sorry, but I'm still stuck on the season 3 sucks train. Yeah. Another thing that sucks is they mentioned it was already December in the show. I guess that means no Thanksgiving episode this year. I didn't think about that. That really does suck.
Maybe the show does suck.
We're convinced. That's it.
That's it. There's no Thanksgiving episode.
Nothing saving it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely confirmed because I'll reveal it now. Next week's episode, season 3, episode 11 is And to All a Good Night. So we're looking at Christmas.
We really fumbled the bucket. We could have released that episode this week. We just weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're off by a week. It's fine.
We're off by a week. It was so
cool. It could be a New Year's episode, in which case we'll be spot on.
Maybe. So, yeah.
One final note. Congratulations to Carrie Russell, who received her 5th career Golden Globe nomination for season 2 of The Diplomat. I still have to check that show out.
Good job, Carrie Russell. You're such a talent.
She's a queen. She's an icon.
Yes, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Your hair is looking better and better every episode.
Every year it gets better. And that's our episode, Sarah. That was season 3, episode 10 of Felicity. I'm really getting tired of the Molly show. Truly, can we kill her off? Like, we need James' gun to, like, go off.
Stop it, Jessica. That is terrible.
That is terrible of me to say. I mean, also,
really horrible if that happened.
That gave big It Takes Two. Absolutely adore.
Yeah, absolutely adore.
I need to rewatch that movie. I love that movie so much. Good.
I want to get my sister-in-law to watch it because she's like a big camp girly, but she's never seen that movie.
Wait, she's never seen It Takes Two?
No. No. So
that's unheard of.
She's
a 90s child?
A little bit younger than me, Jess.
I mean, how much younger? Like, is she in her early 20s or something? Like, what is happening?
No, she's in her mid-20s.
Okay, so she's a late 90s girly.
I think so. So
she just missed. Did she miss the whole Mary-Kate and Ashley train?
Maybe.
I'm a little devastated.
I'm gonna have to ask her on Christmas.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Please report back.
I'll report back.
Yeah, that's what we've got. Let me look at the calendar. Is this our last? Well, we have a podcast dropping on Christmas Day, so I guess that will be the last podcast we release pre-holiday.
It's not the last podcast that we're recording.
Correct. So
we have 3 more podcasts to record before the end of the year.
Well, before the end of the year, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But before the Christmas holiday, if you celebrate, we hope you have a happy holiday.
Yeah. Hanukkah starts on Christmas this year. So happy
Hanukkah. Double holiday it up, baby.
Double holiday. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of like very cute menorahs on like TikTok of people like making them. And they're very cute.
Wow.
Like with like an air dry clay situation. Very cute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be back next week covering what seems to be either a Christmas or New Year's episode of Felicity. So can't wait for that. Hopefully Molly's not around. That's my New Year's resolution. Get Molly
off the show. Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Love that. But yeah, you could find us at Shit 90s Pod everywhere. As a reminder, we are on YouTube now if you want to watch us. Sometimes we pull up visual things like we did with Donald Faison's face today, just occasionally. So it's just another way for people to consume the podcast. But anything else you want to tell people about, Sarah, before we get on out of here?
No, I'm very excited for the release of our Christmas podcast because I was a little drunko and had a good time.
Please do watch the YouTube video of that one. That one I think is a fun YouTube watch. Yeah. And then in the new year, we'll have some other podcasts. So make sure you're checking out everything we got going on. And we'll be back next week with more Felicity. Until then, goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit 2, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.